Welcome to Inside the Castle, the podcast that goes behind castle doors to have real conversations with real people about solving the nation's toughest challenges.
I'm one of your hosts today, Aaron Schneider.
And I'm Amy Snively.
Today we're talking about a powerful example of partnership in action, the Silver Jackets program. Silver Jackets is a great program. It brings together federal, state, and local agencies to reduce flood risk and help communities prepare for disasters before they happen. But really what makes this program so interesting and unique is the people, the shared commitment, and bringing everybody together to really solve the problems and be prepared for the future. Joining us today are Brandon Brummett from the Corps Louisville District, who coordinates the Kentucky and Indiana Silver Jackets teams, and Tom Hughes from the Pennsylvania Emergency Management Agency, a longtime member of the Pennsylvania Silver Jackets team and state leader in mitigation and resilience. Together, they're going to talk about how the collaboration works across the agencies, across state lines, and how they support communities facing real risks and why this work matters to us and the nation. And I'm really excited to learn more, Amy.
I'm really excited to learn more too, Aaron, especially because we're talking to someone I've worked with as a colleague and the public involvement specialist of the Corps for over 10 years. So let's get into it and have both of you introduce yourselves and your role in the Silver Jackets program.
I'm Brandon Brummett. I'm the outreach coordinator for the Corps of Engineers Louisville District. I've been with the Louisville District almost 30 years. I've been worked as an engineer, worked as a project manager on both civil works missions and military missions. And since 2007, I've been the Louisville District Outreach Coordinator. And that's when I got tabbed as, hey, we've got this new thing called Silver Jackets that's been going on for a year or two now. Brandon, we'd like you to kind of take over that as one of your outreach duties. So I've been fortunate to be with the Silver Jackets team, working with Silver Jackets since almost the beginning. So I guess I wouldn't say since its birth, but maybe since its toddler stages.
All right, Tom Hughes, I'm the director of the Pennsylvania Emergency Management Agency's Emergency Management, Mitigation, Insurance, and Resilient Communities Office, which was created a couple years ago, which we call MERC. It's a mouthful. I was a state hazard mitigation officer for 15 years and have been with FEMA for about 33 years. And so, you know, this concept, the Silver Jackets concept, came to me in 2010 when Stacy Underwood, who is a recently retired co-chair from our Silver Jackets team out of the Baltimore district, called me. And I know, you know, we have four core districts that cover our state. And so when a federal agency comes to me and says that they're going to provide administrative support, I'm like, okay, what's the catch? And so, you know, that it has been a good ride since 2010 when we chartered. And I'd like to talk a little bit more about it over the next hour here.
Thank you both. And it's great having you on the show today. I'm really excited to get into the actual topic of the Silver Jackets program and really what makes this different from other mitigation efforts in the disaster risk management space. I know a lot of times we're so focused on post-disaster recovery or building a permanent solution. But you know, the Silver Jackets program really is on the front end of this, of trying to get information to people and coordinating efforts. So maybe, Tom, do you want to start with us talking a little bit about Silver Jackets, what it is, and really why it's important?
Yeah, you know, it's not just another one of those federal programs, you know, we all talk about. It's both formal and informal. To me, Silver Jackets program is made up of folks that are interested in flood risk and impact reductions. And of course, we're a flood prone state, so it's right up our alley. And our team, we have the normal federal, state, and local agencies and commissions, but also local grassroots and watershed representation with municipal and county members as well. We have added academic partners and nonprofits, and trying to figure out a way to bring on the select private sector partners with our Business Emergency Operations Center format. Each state has a hazard mitigation planning team, but this group goes well beyond that. It primarily looks at just flood risk, but we have looked at other hazards as well, as such as landslides, mudslides, and sinkholes with the team.
I know I've worked on Silver Jackets projects that are related to all of those things, Tom. So thanks for setting that stage. How did the name Silver Jackets come to be? There's a story to that, and it's not you guys all looking like astronauts wearing silver jackets, correct?
Brandon, you want to take a stab at that first?
Yeah, so when I came on and they started talking about the Silver Jackets program, the idea behind that is when you've had a disaster and you've got all the different government agencies, you know, the folks coming into town saying, hi, I'm from the government, I'm here to help. They're all wearing, you know, their different agency uniforms or jackets. So you've got the Corps of Engineers folks that are wearing, you know, red jackets with the Corps Castle on it. You've got the FEMA folks that are wearing like the blue jackets with FEMA. You've got, you know, your whatever your state agency's, you know, colors may be. You've got, you know, the National Guard typically helping out, and they're in their military uniforms. And so if you put all of those colors together, you get brown. But brown jackets, it sounds more like UPS, I guess. But with that, they kind of thought, well, you know, this program helps serve as kind of the silver lining in the cloud of what's going on. And clouds, I think, are appropriate because that's where rain comes from, which usually causes our flooding. So this silver lining in the clouds, they kind of took that to call it Silver Jackets. And the name's kind of stuck. I think there was one of the teams very early on, and they decided they wanted to be known as the Camo Jackets and not like military camo. I think it was like real tree hunting camo. And I think they were like, hey, let's run with that. As long as they've got the team, they can kind of call themselves the Camo Jackets. I don't know if they're still doing that or not, but I got a kick out of that.
Yeah, and I want to give a shout out to the Corps Planning Associates program, because that is where the idea, I understand, originated from. It was a think piece as part of that program. And this is a great example of like somebody has a good idea, and that a good idea managed to get traction and come into practice. And it's really exciting to see that that idea is actually working, and not only working, but it's working as a collaboration between the states and federal governments and, like you said, nonprofits across state lines. And the amount of coordination that's necessary to do that is immense. But once you get it working, it really pays dividends. And speaking of, you know, the benefits of this program, I know you're both heavily involved in these multi-agency collaborations and making it work in the real world. And I want to know, like, what value does this have to our citizens every day? Like, what kind of outputs are they seeing? Because I know this isn't just create another report that you throw on a shelf. This has real world impacts and benefits. So could you talk a little bit about those for us?
Yeah, and I think there's a lot of value in this. In today's world, one of the big focuses you're seeing is on government efficiency. And I really feel like Silver Jackets has kind of served as a model of government efficiency, even before that kind of became the in trend thing. And so when you look at that, you get a lot of bringing a lot of partners to the table with their various authorities and programs that they have to help, really helps you come up with a more robust and complete solution to a flooding situation than what one agency may be able to do. And when you look at the value that it brings, I can really think of in cases where in the past, a community may have come to us or another agency and said, hey, we've got this problem. And we've kind of looked at it and we're like, yeah, we really can't solve that problem for you. But through Silver Jackets, you may be able to piece out the solutions to that problem. Say, for example, with some of the flood inundation maps that have been done over the years, you know, there may not be enough funding in any one government program to do a full flood inundation map for a community. But maybe there's enough funding under one of the Corps programs for us to do the modeling. And then we're able to take data that USGS gathered under one of their programs to use that to develop our modeling, and then work with another agency, you know, on the mapping, and then work, you know, with another agency to get that hosted on the web or something. Is it a little more messy to do a project that way than if, you know, one agency was doing it? Yeah, in some cases, I think it is. But I think the alternative is having a project that's a little more messy is better than having no project at all. And so I think that's really some of the value that can be brought to the table, is each agency kind of bringing what they can to that recipe to make something where, you know, everybody can get a bite to eat out of it.
Speaking of bites, the way I look at it from a state perspective, we're all looking at it from a different lens here. You know, the state, we're kind of like the middle of the sandwich. We got the locals, we got the state, and then we got the feds and all those different support agencies. And for me, For Silver Jackets, you know, we talk about coordination and we talk about collaboration. And the thing I like about the Silver Jackets is, you know, at one of the presentations, the national presentation, the Indiana team talked about stone soup. And Brandon, you pretty much talked about that, how, you know, piece here, piece there. But, you know, the coordination collaboration has to actually move to convergence. And so, you know, it's great to talk about these things. It's great to put them in a plan. We got these mitigation actions, but, you know, how do we do a win-win-win for the locals, for the agencies and associations involved, and for the Silver Jackets team? And I think we see a lot of that on the projects that we work on. Some of the projects that were over here that we couldn't get to, and that when we have, you know, everybody buys into a little piece of it, we can get that project done. There's only so many resources that go around. And when we all have a common goal, have a common project that we all wanted to get to, we know it's going to make it the flood impact space a better place, that we are able to, you know, converge on that. And that, to me, has been the value since 2010 for our Pennsylvania team.
So, Tom, are you saying that you're the meat on the sandwich? Are you the jelly?
We're stuck in between, and, you know, we try to make everything work, but Silver Jackets helps us do that because we have so many more avenues and tools in the toolbox to do that. You know, we can phone a friend. We can, you know, it's like,
sure.
You know, try to figure it out.
So you've seen a lot, Tom, through your extensive experience with disaster response. Has that experience shaped the way you work through Silver Jackets today?
Oh, boy. If I had Tom where I was in 2010 to where Tom is right now, and I had less gray hair, that, you know, it has really, really evolved our team from 2010. I mean, just trying to figure out who was in the special flood hazard area space, who was in the flood reduction space, you know, levees and dams. Typically, emergency management doesn't do that. So, you know, it's kind of like figuring out who can do what for whom. And then each of the agencies, you know, go through a different lens of, you know, I use a Staple E process, the social, technical, administrative, political, legal, environmental, and economic filters. And, you know, how far can an agency go in certain areas and trying to figure that out? It's not a minefield. It's just we're trying to figure out who can do what and, you know, who can we ask to do what? And sometimes we even find out that maybe an agency wasn't asked to do things. You know, we had a pretty good conversation on high water marks. You know, typically that's USGS, but is that something maybe some of the other members might be able to help out with? And like, oh, we've never been asked that before. So, you know, there are things that, you know, that we kick around in the open space that now that there's a trust level, we've worked with each other for so many years that, you know, there's certain things that, no, that's a hard no, we can't do that. You know, maybe this is a maybe, and this is definitely a yes. And hey, that's kind of like not my cheese, but, you know, this is what we do. We would like to take the lead on this. And so it's kind of a negotiation process with all the team members. And then also figuring out what can a team take on? I mean, you know, 1 year we took on 14 projects, and I got to tell you, we had a Silver Jackets burnout, cause we all had our own stuff. And it's kind of like, oh, we got one more call on this. We got, you know, every turn around on this project. So it's kind of like, am I working for the Corps or am I working for FEMA? Am I? So, you know, we have tempered that down and kind of, you know, we do our prioritization. I think that, you know, even when we do our applications, have that process down on how we're going to buy down risk. And are we going to do it through Silver Jackets, or are we going to do it through maybe state agencies are going to buy it? So, or federal agencies or, you know, associations. So, we figure that out. I think I have a better and more dexterity, I think, working now than what we had before. It really has been a learning process in other aspects of response and recovery. And I'll just leave it there.
Thanks, Tom. Brandon, from the core side, or consistent with this description earlier, the top piece of bread on the sandwich, how does Silver Jackets allow you to approach risk reduction differently than in a traditional project?
Yeah, and I like that sandwich kind of analogy. I don't know, this must be because we're going to be butting up against lunch. We're all talking about food. We're hungry, but anyway, I think with that, as the outreach coordinator, one of the things that is the core tenets of my job is networking with local communities, congressional staff, you know, state agencies, you know, and we get the help I've flooded, you know, or I'm flooding phone call. And it's like, okay, let's talk about that. Let's go out and make a site visit. I think before we really, our Silver Jackets teams were up and running, when we would go out there, you know, I'm really just looking at a problem from, the Corps of Engineers lens. And it's like, I'd see a problem and I'd be like, yeah, sorry, we don't have the authority from Congress or a program that allows us to be able to help you solve that problem. And that was kind of the end of the answer from the Corps standpoint. Now, working with all these other partners, I'm certainly no expert on all their programs, but I at least know, hey, let me call my buddy that works for NRCS because they've got a program that sounds like it might work for you guys, you know, or why don't you call, you know, so-and-so with the USGS, because really it sounds like you guys may need a stream gauge put in here and you know, that's right up their alley. So I'm able to kind of help refer them to other agencies where the Corps may not be the appropriate agency to deal with their problem. And number one, I feel like I'm helping them more and serving them better, which is taxpayers. That's what we want, all want our government employees to be doing is, you know, providing good value for our tax dollars and being good public servants. But it also makes me feel better about the situation because I do feel like, okay, even if I'm not the one helping them, I'm getting them to somebody who can provide them the help. And, you know, that just makes me, for lack of a better term, just feel good that, hey, I'm able to at least get them hooked up with somebody that can help instead of saying, sorry, I can't help you. And then, you know, going back to you know, my day to day.
Yeah. Can I add to that too? I like what you're saying, Brandon, on that, because I think you have to get to, how can we get to yes? I mean, there are times when it's a hard no, and there's times that, hey, let's at least get to a maybe, and maybe we can get to yes, maybe not in your time frame. And maybe not to the level that you wanted to, but at least, you know, 80% of something, 100%, you know, that's better than nothing. We've also, I think, you know, in an evolution of our team too, like we operate different during blue sky, and what I call a disaster time, dark sky, gray sky. And we coined a new phrase, Larry West, my boss, clear sky. It's like clear sky is like when you can go back in and the water starts going down. So, there's things that we're able to coordinate as team members that, you know, not outside of the Emergency Operations Center or what we call a Commonwealth Response and Coordination Center, but we can actually maybe get some more information that maybe wasn't coming through our channels and say, hey, I got a question on this. So I can go, we've got the trust level, we can call back and we can, you know, for that reach back and figure out, okay, what's going on, and then kind of push them in the right direction. I think also, you know, Brandon, you hit on the technical support. That maybe I come with no money, but maybe I can come with technical support where I can help you do that application to get you there, get you to the table. And I've seen that. The other evolution that I've seen too with our team is that, you know, response is pretty glitzy. And, you know, all the media, they want to see that. They want to see, you know, see what's going on there. But, you know, also the recovery phase, you know, what are we going to do for long-term resilience measures? And I think Silver Jackets has moved into that space now with recovery support functions, that there's things that they can work with. You know, we started out, you know, in 2004 with the National Response Plan that moved to the framework. And in 2011, we have the National Disaster Recovery Framework. And so around that team, our team was just started 2010. So now we're moving through the, you know, these frameworks and figuring out how, you know, our relationships within that. And so that has been an evolution process too, and a learning process.
I love that. It kind of goes directly into the question I was going to ask. So these partnerships and the trust level that you've aimed, obviously that helps you really think of things that might not have seemed possible before or you hadn't considered before. Can either of you or both of you walk us through a specific project or initiative in Pennsylvania, Kentucky, Indiana, anywhere really, where Silver Jackets helped achieve something that wouldn't have been possible otherwise?
I can go first on that one. I've got a number of projects that are sticking in the back of my head right now. The non-structural floodproofing workshops, I mean, you guys familiar with those at the Corps out of Omaha? We were one of the pilot states, and I thought it would never get off the ground because, you know, just the definition non-structural is different between FEMA and the Corps. and just getting over that hurdle on how we were going to define that and what was going to be palatable for both the FEMA folks and for FEMA, for the state to go on the road and work with Omaha to deliver that class. And I'm glad we've done that. We've done probably 12 of those within the state to, you know, not just residential areas, but you know, business areas to where, you know, flood proofing can happen and can happen effectively, and led to even some of the non-structural assessment teams going out there and, you know, talking to, you know, private sector, which, you know, critical facilities is very important for the state. You know, all the critical facilities the government doesn't own. You know, we rely a lot on the private sector. And I think, you know, that has also led to other training opportunities like the ice dam training. I would have never thought that would have been impossible, but working with your cold labs there, you know, in New England, you know, coming down, working with the National Weather Service, getting them together, getting the Corps together, getting our river basins together, that has paid big dividends. Knock on wood, we haven't had ice jam problems the last couple of years, but, you know, it's cyclical. So, you know, we're you know, ready for that. I think the other thing, Brandon, I don't know if you run into this, but a lot of times we run into municipal officials, you know, having some ideas, but not really knowing how to go about it. And our Silver Jackets team, you kind of realized, okay, number one is funding. Okay, I got a great idea, but how do I fund it? And number two is success stories. And so we put together two documents on how, like a kind of a how-to, on how can I fund it and how am I going to go about it? And we kind of patterned it off of, you know, FEMA came out with the national book on, you know, things in Alaska and all the other states. But we wanted to be like Pennsylvania concentric, that here's success stories here within the state. And here's people you can reach out and touch. You can ask about the good, the bad, the ugly. You know, there's some pictures. So they're not just starting, you know, you can't do a project 0 to 60. It just doesn't work. You know, you need some help. You need some technical support. You need some mentorship. You know, local folks, being a state or a fed coming in, talking to locals, they'd rather hear from one of their local peers before they hear from you. And so, you know, I've done this and this is how I did it and I was successful. And, oh, you don't want to go there. You know, you don't want that money. You know, you don't want to, you know, you don't want to try this. And so if we can get rid of some of those pain points for locals, and that actually, we're now, we've got street cred because, you know, we've helped them to get through a process successfully. So that has been good. The other thing that I never thought we could do was, you know, I hate the word one-stop shop. I really do. But we put together a website through the Silver Jackets for a before, during, and after a disaster, and was tailored to flooding, you know, flood impacts. And so we've actually revised that now 3 times. And, you know, I point municipal officials to that saying, okay, you know, in your comp plan, your messages you want to get out, this is already done for you. You know, cut and paste, use it, borrow, steal, don't care. You know, it's going to help you. And that has worked out. And I think the other thing that grew over a beer discussion, one of our Silver Jackets beer discussions, was why are people doing green infrastructure projects? And they're like, oh, I don't know. You know, it's not one of those that you wake up in the morning and go, oh, I think I'll do a green infrastructure project. So, you know, we talked about it, like, how do you do that? We may have it in a success guide, but you know what? Let's do a bus tour and let's put everybody on a bus and we'll go to, you know, some of the places we can showcase. And that has paid dividends on applications coming in, on, you know, in that sector. So, you know, that to me was like, you know, having trust, talking to the guys, you know, the networking, you know, it actually paid off. We did the bus tour, and now we're doing several bus tours in our state, in rural areas, and metro areas, suburban areas, just to show, you know, showcase different projects that these people you can do this. Other people have done it. And here's a way to do it.
Yeah, Tom, I like a lot of those ideas, and we've done some similar things in the states that I've been involved with. Particularly, you're talking about, you know, green infrastructure and trying to catalog that and showcase, hey, these are the successes. This is why this stuff works. I think two projects that I can come up with right off the bat. One of these, our current Kentucky Silver Jackets state lead, says it's his favorite thing we've ever done with Silver Jackets, was setting up a framework to coordinate collection of statewide LIDAR data, because everything we do from a flooding standpoint has to go back to modeling and mapping. And the better mapping and the better data you have, which you can get from, you know, starting out with LIDAR is kind of that base framework for your topography. If that's not good, nothing else is going to be good. So we've done that in both Kentucky and Indiana to set up that framework, and it's just been intensely valuable. And could it have been done without Silver Jackets? Yeah, maybe. But I don't think it would have been as cohesive and collective, and each agency then saying, hey, when we're doing this, this is what we really need to see out of the data, or this is what we'd like to see. The flood inundation maps that we've done across the region, those are so powerful to help communities see their flood risk and for warning and things like that. We had a community in Kentucky back in 1997 that very catastrophic flooding. People died. And this technology just wasn't available back in 97. And so a few years ago, we came up with the idea, hey, we've studied this community so many times to try to look at what we could do to help them from a flooding standpoint. Why don't we do a flood inundation map for them? And the county judge executive, who's kind of the main fiscal official for the county, that was the county judge when they had this flooding in 97, when we rolled this out, he had just retired. And so his successor had him come back and speak about the importance of this project. And he got up in front of people and tears were in his eyes. And he said, had we had this technology and this collaboration in 1997, people would not have died. And he was wiping tears away from his eyes. And man, that's about as powerful as you can get with a project where people are, where you're helping people. I mean, that's truly the end result is, you know, it's kind of a saying where I think sometimes people, you know, can overuse it. But in that case, we really feel like, hey, we're saving lives with some of these projects. And you can't ever forget that.
Yeah, that's awesome. You know, you're right. The Silver Jackets has been really good on inundation mapping. And when you guys had that national conference, too, I think Stacy was talking to the folks from Oklahoma. And we did a pilot in the city of Harrisburg just to get it off the ground on how would that work through Silver Jackets. And just this pilot, city of Harrisburg, you know, our capital, okay, you know, has flooding. But what we really had some payback from doing the next project that we did for inundation mapping for that notification warning for the locals, you know, having an emergency management site, but also then what the general public could see for 100 miles of Susquehanna. And it all came, you know, was born out of Silver Jackets. Ideas from other states, and then, you know, actually replicating that here within the Commonwealth.
Thank you both. These are some really awesome examples, and really excited to hear about, you know, the progress. We're nearing the end of our time here. So I wanted to get one last bit from you. Could you both tell us something that you're excited about in the future for this program? And then any final messages you want our listeners to hear from you, in particular, the general public and those communities that maybe need additional assistance and how they can reach out for help.
Well, could you put any more in that sentence, in that question there?
I could throw in a few more if you wanted me to give me an opportunity.
I think for me, for our team is, you know, that we're, you know, mentoring of new members, trying to, you know, with the turnover, and then, you know, keeping the, you know, keeping some good ideas. We have some, you know, there's always going to be the good idea fairies, but we're also got to have the good ideas that we need, we can actually act on, you know, explaining the landscape to the new members on what we can and what we can't do. We have Ed Benish now is going to be, you know, I've only known one co-chair. You know, Stacy Underwood, and, you know, she's fantastic. And, you know, I had a conversation with Ed at Stacy's retirement. Hey, you got some big shoes to fill. And so, you know, I see that a lot with other teams that you, the core districts, they have new points of contact, you know, and trying to, you know, then bring them in the fold, you know, kind of mentor the new members. And then, you know, the project ideas. Again, you know, I've got four districts, and sometimes it's like a balancing act on, you know, is Philadelphia going to put something in? Pittsburgh going to put something in? You know, Buffalo, you know, Baltimore. And, you know, they all want to put four projects in. But I can't do four projects in each 16 projects there. I just can't do it. So, you know, with the prioritization, I think that's important and why we have the prioritization. And, you know, I think, Brandon, you talked, too, about Silver Jackets is a mechanism. but there may be other places that maybe we can slide that initiative to somebody else. And that, you know, it may not be a Silver Jackets thing, but guess what? It got initiated in a Silver Jackets conversation, and we can take credit for it that way too. That, hey, that was a good initiative, and we were able to hand it off to somebody else and successfully complete that. I think the other thing too is still working with the locals. You know, there's been a frustration level of, you know, it's not easy to do an application, and it's not easy to do a project. And I think, you know, working them through and then propping them up as a champion of the community, that we found somebody that followed through and give them recognition. And so that's one of the things that I'd like to see more so from our team, is that recognition for the local communities. And then, you know, truly, you know, maybe that could be like a Silver Jackets award for locals too. I'd like to see something like that.
Yeah. And, you know, kind of thinking through that, some of the things we've got on the horizon, Kentucky's just been ravaged by flooding this year. Eastern Kentucky, I think they've had, you know, some pretty bad flooding for the third year out of 5 years, that portions of Eastern Kentucky have just gotten hammered. So we've got several studies underway that we're working, and we're also looking, hey, how do we engage our other partners through that process? Maybe to even in our feasibility study, we identify something that the Corps doesn't need to do that maybe another agency does. So I think that's kind of exciting and a little bit unique. The other thing that we're seeing in Indiana, I just found out 2 weeks ago that our state lead is leaving state government. And so just last week, I found out who the new state lead is that's going to take over the program. So I'm kind of excited, because one of the things that we're looking at doing in the not too distant future is having a Silver Jackets leadership meeting amongst some of the key agencies that have kind of always been there to kind of drive that Silver Jackets train and set the direction for our team. And it's been a few years since we've done that in Indiana. So getting together some of the folks that are on our team from the agencies that really have set that tone and set that direction for the team, to kind of figure out, okay, this is what we've been doing over the past almost 20 years that we've been doing this. Are there areas we need to change? Are there things we need to drop and shift our focus away from and towards? And as far as what to leave with other people, I guess there's two things that I always say. You hear the old adage, it's not what you know, it's who you know. And oftentimes that's used in a negative connotation, like, you know, somebody has lunch with the boss and they get the promotion or whatever. But I think with Silver Jackets, it really is true in a positive sense. Because when you're looking at some of these catastrophic flooding disasters that you've got, no one agency knows the what and what really needs to be done. They don't have the entire picture there. And having those relationships built that you can leverage can get you the who may know the what. So it really is, you know, you need both. You need to have people who know what they're doing and what the right solution may be, but you need to figure out how to get to those people. And having that Silver Jackets as a framework, Silver Jackets team as a framework, allows you to use the who to get to the people who know the what. That's one thing. The other thing, and Tom probably has heard this too, you know, for every dollar spent in mitigation, and I looked up the numbers this morning, depending on the source, it's somewhere between $6 and $7 in avoided losses. And I found one source that said it may even be as high as $13. So when we're talking, you know, government efficiency and return on investment and everything like that, man, if I had my investments where I could spend a buck and know that I'm going to get $6 or even $13, you know, sign me up with that investment firm. That's where I want my, you know, my TSP and my Roth IRAs and everything else going, my kids' college funds, you know, sign me up for that 13-to-1 ratio there. So, Silver Jackets does tend to focus more heavily on mitigation, focuses on, you know, the whole risk life cycle there, but a lot of our efforts do tend to be in mitigation. And when you see those figures, it just really makes you say, okay, this stuff does work and it does pay off.
What a great program to be proud of, to be a part of and to be working for. That wraps up this episode of Inside the Castle. A Big thank you to Tom Hughes and Brandon Brummett for joining us and for the work they and their teams are doing every day to help communities stay safe, informed, and prepared. The Silver Jackets program is proof that when agencies work together with shared goals and a focus on local needs, big things can happen. Whether it's mapping risk, managing floods, or helping towns rebuild stronger, the impact is real and it reaches far beyond any single agency or disaster. We really appreciate your insights. Until next time, be safe, be innovative, and be part of the solution.
Thanks for joining us for this Inside the Castle podcast. To provide your feedback, email us at cw.infrastructure.team@usace.army.mil. Stay tuned for additional Inside the Castle podcasts as we explore life inside the core and revolutionize civil works together.